Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is so good to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. What a great day to be the church. We thank you for joining us and making your presence known in body and in spirit this time. Just a few announcements before we begin our time of worship this morning. I'm going to point out that there really is no excuse to not have a wide array of desserts available for Palm Sunday or for Easter this year, because our youth are selling cinnamon rolls. These are take-and-bake cinnamon rolls, and they will be available for purchase from now until March 17th. March 17th is the last day that you can get these orders in. Pickup for these cinnamon rolls will be on Saturday, March 24th, and we're asking for a free will offering to support the youth ministries of this program. Secondly, and certainly not least, the Joyful Mission Preschool is also hosting a fundraiser sale. They're selling butter braids. And so if you are looking for a great way to celebrate the end of Lent, what better way than to get your orders in for these delicious pastries, because you get to support the ministries here at Joy too. Second announcement for you today, there is a Lent book study beginning on Tuesday, March 2nd, and we're going to be studying the book Unoffendable, which is the theme for our Lenten midweek services this year. This book study is going to take place over Zoom. If you're interested, be sure to check out our e-news and find the information and the Zoom link there. If you or someone you know is interested in receiving First Communion, be sure to sign up for the class on Saturday, March 13th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. That will take place here in the sanctuary. We are asking that any of our young people who are taking communion for the first time, please come with a trusted adult, some kind of a sponsor, whether that's a parent, a guardian, a grandparent, a beloved relative, but somebody to come and be with them in this time of discernment and learning about this wonderful gift of grace. Last announcement that I have for you today is the men's prayer breakfast, which had been delayed or postponed because of COVID restrictions. It now resumes this week. And so Wednesday, 6:30 a.m. at the Egg and You, we hope to see you all there. As always, for all of your church news, be sure to stay up to date with our e-news as well as our church website. That's all the announcements I have for you today, so let us begin our time of worship together. Let's just take a moment to take a deep breath and prepare our hearts and minds for this day. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those who are gathered with you, or even knowing that there are those who are gathered all over this place who are sharing and extending God's peace to you in this time. Let us share God's peace. We continue now with our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of steadfast love, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God hears us when we cry and draws us close in Jesus Christ. So let us turn to the one who is full of compassion, confessing our sin before God and one another. We'll take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. Fountain of living water, pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy, and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined, and mend what we have torn. Wash us in your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the Spirit to follow in the way of Jesus as healers and restorers of the world you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The whole promise rests on grace. By the saving love of Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God, our sins are forgiven. And God remembers them no more. So together, free from our bondage, let us journey in the way of Jesus. Amen. We join now together in singing our opening hymn. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue this morning with our lessons.
Today's first lesson is from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15 through 16. As with Noah, God makes an everlasting covenant with Abraham and Sarah. God promises this old couple that they will be the ancestors of nations, that they have no child together. God will miraculously bring forth new life from Sarah's womb. The name changes emphasize the firmness of God's promise. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. The responsive psalm is Psalm 22, verses 23-31. You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord. Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come. They shall proclaim God's deliverance to all people yet unborn, saying to them, the Lord has acted. The second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. Paul presents Abraham as the example for how a person comes into the right relationship with God, not through works of the law, but through faith. Though Abraham and Sarah were far too old for bearing children, Abraham trusted that God would accomplish what God had promised to accomplish. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is a null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Here ends the readings.
Continue with the reading of the gospel lesson. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to teach them, the disciples, that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with our children's sermon.
Gerald, I think our friends need some help.
Here we come to save the day.
Spider-Man, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I have no hands, so I can't help you.
It's fine, Ducky. I'm super strong, and I'm brave, and you can trust me.
Hey, Lindsay, what you doing?
I'm playing a game. You're kind of right.
Look, it's Jesus.
Yeah, he's the hero.
Yeah. What are you doing? You're playing?
Yeah, I'm playing.
Awesome. Look at that. You've got Superman and Batman. I'm Batman. And you got Superman on a chicken, and you got this.
No, I mean, everything's just really set up, really.
Oh.
I mean, Batman's ready for action mode.
Well, can't I play too?
You want to play too?
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got lots of toys here. Can't I play?
I mean, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but.
Okay.
Aren't you a little old?
Wait, you're saying I'm too old to play?
I mean, aren't you?
I don't see how I could possibly take that the wrong way.
Maybe, you know, there's just grown-up stuff that you want to do.
Listen. So, what you just said reminds me of our Bible story today.
Oh, I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. I was playing with
you were playing
toys.
With these toys. I know. Well, it's about a man named Abram. Say it.
Abram.
And his wife, and a wife's name was Sarai.
Oh, Sarai. That's close to another name I recognize.
Kind of sounds like names we know. We'll talk about that in a second. But Abram and Sarai, they were old.
Okay.
They were like very old.
Really?
Yeah, like older than your mom and dad.
Oh.
Older than your grandma.
What? Well, how old were they?
Abram was 99 years old.
What? That's almost as old as you.
Okay. You or something. Anyway, listen. God came to Abram and Sarai and told them, "You are going to have a child."
No, you're fooling me. That's so crazy.
I am not kidding.
God was just kidding.
No, God was not kidding. God said, "You're going to have a child." And Sarah, just like you, you know what she did?
What?
She laughed.
Well, I should say so. It sounds ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it sounds ridiculous. But guess what happened?
No.
Yeah.
They had a baby. It worked.
They had a baby. They had a baby. Abram was 99.
Wow.
And Sarai was 90 when they got the promise.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Not just Isaac, their baby.
Okay.
He became a father of other people, and they became fathers. And over and over and over again, these parents kept having more and more babies. And pretty soon, Abraham and Sarah, they became the father and the mother of so many nations.
Wow.
So many people, including us.
Oh.
Yeah.
So their names are different?
Yep. Their names got changed because God gave them a new promise, and God did something that everybody thought was impossible. They thought they were too old.
I see. I'm shocked. That's really fun, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I could let you play with some of my stuff.
Right.
I don't think you're too old anymore, because if God said that to Abraham and Sarah, then doesn't God say that to us too?
Right. Right. We're just people. And God loves us all. And we have all of God's promises our whole life long, mm-hmm. whether we're just born or whether we're really old, everywhere in between, God loves us. So, well, let's have a prayer, shall
okay.
we?
Okay. Yeah.
You want to pray?
I'll pray for us.
Okay, let's pray.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your promises. Thank you for helping us to know that Abraham and Sarah, just as Abraham and Sarah were given the great promise of your love going through generation to generation, that still is true for us today. Thank you for loving us a million times the stars. We love you so much too. And all God's children said,
Amen. All right.
All right. Well, you want to be Superman?
No, I want to be this duck that attacks Superman. Ah, I got you, Superman. Oh. Well, maybe we can.
Gerald's closer.
Okay.
Jesus is coming to save the day.
Oh, there he is. Goodbye, everybody.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I have some good news for you this morning. I received a text message this week from Kaiser Permanente. It was on Thursday morning, and it said, Rodney, and you know it's official when they use that name, Rodney, you're on the COVID-19 vaccine wait list. And it had an exclamation mark at the end of the sentence, which is why I know I should be excited. Then it gave me a phone number that I could call to find out my current position in line. 31,366. That's where I am. When the woman told me my place in line on the phone, I actually laughed out loud and said, well, somewhat sarcastically, well, that's not bad. And she said somewhat seriously, no, it's not. There are over 200,000 people in the waiting line right now, this very minute. So I know we're all in different places when it comes to all this COVID-19 stuff. Some people have their vaccines and they're feeling comfortable being out and about, which, you know, thank you, God, I'm excited for them and it is good. Some people who I haven't seen in about a year have actually started coming back to the church, to the sanctuary again, and it's really nice to see them. Some people are choosing to wait to get back into the swing of things until we all have herd immunity, you know, 70% of the population vaccinated, and that's okay. Really, it's okay. I have total respect for everyone's personal decision regarding the timing of all this for them. Some people don't want to have the vaccine. They think the government is using it as a means to implant little tracking devices into our bodies so Big Brother can know where we are all the time. I don't know. That seems a little misguided to me, since the vast majority of Americans voluntarily carry a tracking device with them all the time,
It's called a cell phone. If anyone wants to find us, they can find us. Anyhow, no matter what we believe about all those things, I do think that there's one thing that we can all agree on. We are more than ready to start getting back to normal. We are ready to start planning our lives again. We are ready to begin thinking about how we can re-engage with each other and do the activities and the events that we all love to do. And see and be with the people, the family, and the friends that we love so much. And do all the churchy things that we want to do. Like sing out loud without our masks on. To come up and kneel for communion, shake hands, hug, drink coffee, eat cookies in the fellowship hall, crowd around in the narthex, buzzing and busting and bumping into each other. And just live, you know? Just live. And not have to think about all the things that we have to think about right now. So 31,366, that's a big number. But it's a good number, and it means something to me. This vaccine means something. It's not just a shot in the arm of some kind of government conspiracy. It means that there is a day coming when things will be different than what they have been. There's a day coming when we can live in a way that we have not been living for a little while now. There's a day coming when we can be free from all these restrictions that we have taken on for the health of the nation and for the sake of each other. We've done it out of love. But there's a day coming where it's going to be different. And that gives me hope. And it's not just that pie in the sky kind of hope that says, oh, you know, I hope someday this all goes away. No, it's different. It's hope that works. It gives me the kind of hope that says, I've got some things to do right now. I know what I need to do right now. So I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to make some really good choices in order to get to that future vision of when things are back to normal, in order to have a different outcome, in order to change my life. It's a living hope. So remember last week when Pastor Ryan talked about Noah and the ark and God and the battle with humanity and the final resolution, the rainbow? How after the destruction, God hung up the bow as a symbol of war and animosity, hung it up, got rid of it as a new symbol of a new promise and a new covenant. And God said, I will never destroy the earth again in that way. I'm not going to scrap everything and start all over again. And that was the covenant with Noah. Well, this week, we have another covenant with that God established, and this was with a man named Abram. And no, I'm not saying that wrong. I'm not messing it up. This guy started out with the name Abram, and God made an agreement with Abram, promising that he would be the father of many nations. God said, you will be exceedingly fruitful, not just fruitful, but exceedingly fruitful. Nations will come from you. Kings will come from you. And then in another place in the book of Genesis, God says, your offspring are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach. It's a nice promise. It sounds so good. I mean, kind of, right? I mean, that's a lot of kids. And the biggest problem was Abram was 99 years old. Listen, my mom, she just turned 88 this week. And even though she doesn't act her age, you know, which is most of the time a good thing, she is the mother of many children. She has a vast multitude of grandchildren, way too many to even count, and a good number of great-grandchildren. However, she is not the mama of many nations or a vast multitude. And I'm not even sure at the age of 88, she would in any way, shape, or form be interested in taking on that kind of monumental responsibility, that kind of project. But God isn't asking her to. God isn't asking my mom to become the mother of many nations. God is asking Abram. God is asking Sarai. And as a sign of the covenant, I mean, besides the whole circumcision thing, which becomes a topic of division when the church expands to the Gentiles and after Jesus is raised from the dead, you know, when the church expands to new people, well, circumcision before that was a physical sign of the covenant. But there's another change that takes place. An incredibly significant change that becomes a sign and a symbol to all people that there is something different with this guy, Abram. Something has changed. God changes Abram's name. I read an article, it was written in 2014, about a legal change that had taken place in the state of Sonora in Mexico. They passed a law that created a list of prohibited names in that area. This list was created to protect the kids from suffering as they lived their life and being bullied at school. So I just want you to know that if you live in a Sonoran region of Mexico and you wanted to name your baby Superman, Pocahontas, Terminator, or Burger King, if you wanted to name your child Facebook, Twitter, email, or Yahoo, which I think would be really funny, maybe Pastor Ryan should consider that, and Lauren, Yahoo Jerome. Anyway, well, in Sonora, you'd be out of luck. You would be sadly disappointed because it's illegal, and you may not agree with that law, and you may think that people can name their stinking children any ridiculous name that they want to choose. Not in Sonora, Mexico. You'd have to pick a different name. Well, God changed Abram's name, picked a different name for him, not to protect him from the ridicule of other people around him. God changed his name to mark the establishment of this new covenant that God was making with him and Sarai. Abram meant exalted father, which is sadly ironic and an irritating reminder that Abram had no children at this point. Who could be an exalted father without kids? But God turns up the heat on that situation and makes it even more ironic, heaping piles and piles of irony upon this man. God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of multitudes. That doesn't seem possible, does it? I mean, Abram couldn't even have one child, let alone vast multitudes. And you know, the Bible says that Sarai, his wife, was not physically able to bear children. But God changed her name too, from Sarai, which some people think means contentious, and others say princess, but either way, it's not very nice, contentious princess. It's all irrelevant now, because God changed her name to Sarah, which means mother of nations. Which again, what didn't God understand? Didn't God know who these people were and what they had been through and where they had come from? I mean, God had to have known their situation, and yet God promised Sarah something new, something she wanted, something she longed for her whole life. Sarah will give birth to a son. And more than that, God promises she will give rise to nations. Kings of people will come from her. God promised her all these things to a woman who was 90 years old and who, according to her own flesh, could not have children. And please note, neither one of them, Abram or Sarai, had the power within themselves to change their lives, to fulfill this vision that God had given them. They couldn't do it, but they didn't have to.
God was the one who is going to make it happen. They just had to believe in God. They had to follow and trust God. And that was their part of the covenant, their part of the responsibility. And it's exactly what Paul wrote about in the book of Romans that we have today. That Abraham believed that God had the power to give life to the dead, to call into existence things that do not exist. Abram was fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised to do, even when he considered his own body, which Paul writes was as good as dead, and even when he considered that Sarai could have no children. When he looked at his whole life and compared it to the promises of God, he did not weaken in his faith. Instead, he hoped against hope. So, just so you know, the covenant that God made with Abraham and Sarah is still one of the covenants that we live in today. We are the children. We are the descendants. We are the vast multitude who were promised to this man and to this woman, not children by flesh and blood, but instead children by faith and hope. We are the children of God. And we understand that there has been and there still are and there always will be promises that God has made to us, which God absolutely has the power to fulfill. And when we hope, we do not hope in vain. We do not make pie in the sky wishes that everything would be different. We do not waste our hope on the things of this world that have no lasting significance, that have no eternal value to us. We hope in Christ, he who has been raised from the dead, who has promised us new life, who has given us the very power of God, the Holy Spirit, living within us, so that we can live our life to the fullest right now and not mourn about every little thing that happens to us like other people do who live without hope. But instead, we can live like Abraham and Sarah. We don't have to wait, just like they didn't wait. We don't have to wait until we see all those promises fulfilled with our very eyes. We don't have to have proof or evidence that God is with us to understand that we are in a covenant with God and God walks with us every day. We choose, in spite of our current situation, in spite of the fear that surrounds us, in spite of knowing the things that are happening to us every single day from day to day, we hope against hope. We believe that God can do what God has promised to do. We know that God can call into existence the things that do not exist. And we have witnessed for ourselves that God can bring life to the dead. So, we can choose to live as though those promises have already been fulfilled. We believe. We have faith that comes from the hope that lives within us. And that faith helps us to work toward those promises that are yet unfulfilled. We can uphold our part of the covenant, just like Abraham and Sarah, by living in faith, by living in hope, by believing that it's all true. Oh, and one more thing that we shouldn't forget. Your name has been changed too. Just like Abram and Sarai have been changed to Abraham and Sarah. We don't live attached to our old earthly names. They do not define us. We are children of God, marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our names have been changed already. We bear the name of Jesus the Christ. We are Christians, followers of Christ. And it is the most important name that we bear out in this world because it is full of hope of every single promise that God has given us. So embrace your name and live in hope. Follower of Christ, it's who you are and it's who you will always be unto eternity. That is the covenant. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God.
Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So with all the people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all people according to their needs. God of all mercy and grace, in your promise to renew this broken world, you gave of yourself for our sake through Jesus Christ. And now you invite us to be a part of your kingdom by giving of ourselves. Help us to see that what you are asking is not restricting our lives, but opening us up to the fullness of life. Today we offer prayers of discernment, seeking where you are calling us to go, that we may live in the fullness of your kingdom here and now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Like so many who have come before us, we are challenged to remember that your promise of abundant life is for us. And yet it is for so much more than just us. It is for the whole world. Help us to lay aside selfish ambition and individualized thinking, that we may recognize and know that you have called us to be a part of something bigger, that is the body of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, O God, for the signs of spring and new life. We thank you for the moisture and nourishment that has come through the recent snow. Your promise to sustain us and provide for us is certain and sure, and we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those affected by COVID, and especially all those who have lost loved ones to this disease. Our minds simply cannot fathom the loss of 500,000 people in our country and the millions more across the globe. And so we offer our prayer to you that we simply long for the renewal of all things, O God, and for the day when your kingdom is finally and fully established, that all hurt and pain and tears will be wiped away and death will be no more, for there will only be life with you for us all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those connected to this family of faith who we hold in our hearts and minds this day, for your loving presence to be with the Benson family at the loss of Daryl and the Klein family at the loss of Bob, for hope and healing for our friends Stephanie and Tony, and for your tender care to be with our beloveds Louise, Rhonda, Janice, Marnie, Anne, Tracy, Cody, and Dick, as well as so many others who have our love in this time of need. Make your presence known to them. Remind them of your eternal present promise to make all things new, and surround them in the love of this community of sinners and saints. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, faithful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abounding and steadfast goodness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with our offering. Thank you.
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, in grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn.
Savior, precious Savior, whom yet unseen we love, O name of might and favor, all other names above, we worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing. Our holy Lord and King.
Holy and mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it for all to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, we now await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray together as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends in Christ, I invite you to gather your elements, the bread and the wine. And together we take the bread, and we remember that this is the body of Christ, and it is given for you. Now we take the cup. We receive this promise of grace that this is the blood of Christ and it is shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. God of steadfast love, at this table you gather your people into one body for the sake of the world. Send us in the power of your Spirit that our lives bear witness to the love that has made us new in Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, receive this blessing for you as you go about your week. You are what God has made you to be. Created in Jesus Christ for good works, chosen as holy and beloved, freed to love and serve your neighbor. May God bless you, that you may be a blessing, in the name of the holy and life-giving Trinity. Amen. We sing together our sending hymn.
Ever shall endure when Lord.
in peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God.